We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
I gotta be honest today, I'm not into this. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, like, my anticipation for tonight's Bucks-Toronto-Raptors matchup is somewhat overwhelming at this point. There are not... I was walking around today. I dropped the kids off at school and went over to Pick and Save. And I'm walking around to Pick and Save today, and there are people that, like, approach at the store, right? Bill Michaels? Yeah. Man, what's going on tonight? Do you think they're going to win? It's all the talk. So I'm over at the deli counter. I'm getting in the fruit, you know, right next to the fruit section. I'm getting these fruit cups, and I'm standing there. And guy walks up to me and says, hey, "So, well, what do you think they're going to do? Giannis going to get 40?" I said, "Look, Giannis may get 40. He may not get 40, but I think they're going to win." Well, that's all I want to hear. So some other gentleman, he overhears it. He comes up. Now he's got a Fear the Deer shirt on, and I said, "Hey, did you go to the game?" "I've been at every one." I said, "Okay, great. What do you think?" "Oh, they're going to win this." I said, "How many games?" "4." "You sure?" "Yeah." "Okay. Confidence level is high." "Good. So what are you up to today?" He said, "Well, he was a construction worker, actually right out here on Highway 100, here in Hell's Corners. The road sucks, and it's been torn up and just completely obliterated for a couple of years now. And it looks like they may, at some point in the 2020 year, may be able to finish this thing at some point. But he's a construction worker who actually said, "I'm kind of keeping my head low. My boss is out there." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm too amped up." "Too amped up to what?" "I'm too amped up to work today." "So you didn't go to work? This beautiful day today." "I'm going to go downtown. I'm going to walk around the waterfront." And so he's going on and on. He's going to walk the riverfront, I guess, for a while. Maybe go over to the lake, hang out for a little bit. And he's going to the game tonight and just so excited that he can't work. This should almost be like a true disability for those that are sports fans. Just, I'm too excited. I'm too amped up. I can't work today. It's kind of the way I feel. I have nothing today. You know how, Joe, when we sit here day after day and we get done with the program and then we're cutting promos and commercials and then I got to run because I got a conference call and then we got a sales meeting and then you got another meeting where it's a possible sales meeting or a sponsorship thing or what, you know, or you got a speaking engagement. You just got something. Today, I got nothing. I completely cleared the schedule, so we got a couple things to do after the show, but we'll be out of here in 15, 20 minutes. So we get done with the show today. So I told you last week, Sherry went out and bought me the new John Deere tractor. I am going home. I am jumping on the tractor, kind of Brett Favre-ing it, if you will. I'm going to cut the grass, do nothing. I'm going to turn the sprinkler on. I'm opening up the tiki bar. So tonight, you may want to look for some Facebook Live. It could be drunken Facebook Live, but it's going to be some Facebook Live tonight out by the tiki bar. I'm going to put the big screen in the tiki bar. I'm going to go ahead and put it back out there. Turn everything on, lights going, and I think as long as the weather holds out and it's above 65 degrees, I'm going to hang out at the tiki bar tonight. I have nothing else. That's my day. That's my whole plan, and I can't wait to get there. I cannot wait to peel off the pullover, throw some shorts on, get on the tractor, put a headset in, listen to a little music. I don't know. I may even listen to some John Deere Green. Joe Diffie, I think it was, did John Deere Green years ago. Just because. We got to find that, Joe. If we can track that down, we might have to play that. It's the stupidest song in the history of songs, but we might have to play it just to play it. But that being said, I can't wait. I'm not going to the game tonight. A friend of mine came into town. He said, "Man, I really need some tickets." I said, "You know what? I had some. Go ahead and take them." He's never been. He's never been to the Fiserv. He's never been to a Bucks game. He's never been to a playoff game. I said, "Go ahead and take them." You know, Sherry's got to work anyway till about 6:30, 7 o'clock. So it's like, you know what? Go ahead and take them. No kids tonight. We have nothing. We're just gonna grill. I'm still trying to figure out what the fare is going to be. I might have to stop down Robert's Specialty Meat and go face first. Might have to throw some of that Al Capone sausage on there. But just going to grill, sit back, relax, and watch the game. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. It's like today, the show gets in the way of today. You know? Just that's what it is. And I'm on, I did radio this morning in Toronto. I was on ESPN in Toronto today. I was also on TSN over in Vancouver today, talking Bucks basketball. I did a shout-out today, early morning, as a matter of fact, out in the San Francisco Bay Area, doing a Golden State station out there at one of our sister stations. I did a shout-out with them today. So I've been up and talking Bucks basketball all morning. I'm done. I just, you know what? And the funny thing is, finally, there's some people waking up to the fact that the Bucks, oh, by the way, they're pretty good. Pretty good basketball team. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Nice night last night, by the way, for the Brewers. Brewers get a win last night. Woodruff looked really, really good. But Keston Hiura with a couple of hits. How about that? Comes up, does a look. Now, I had tweeted this out yesterday, and I tweeted it out again last night. Keston Hiura is not in the Hall of Fame. He may be on his way, but he's not there yet. Don't get crazy. Just enjoy the ride for right now. Not enough pressure. Already coming into the majors, a little bit earlier than expected, and now he's got to come up, and he's got to rake, and he's got to play well, and you just don't worry, okay? Just don't worry. Just let the team continually stack up wins. I was happy that he got a couple of knocks last night. That's it. Ryan Braun, he ends up getting a couple of RBI last night. Good to see him go 1-for-4. Lorenzo Cain continues to hit. Christian Yelich, on the road, 0-for. Scored a run. Ended up walking, struck out once. But nevertheless, did not do what you were kind of hoping for. But nevertheless, not bad. Take it. Excited for Keston Hiura comes up. He bats 7th last night. Goes 2-for-3. All good stuff. But the big news of the night: Woodruff 6 strong, giving up 1 hit, 5 walks. You'd like to see that come down, but 5 strikeouts along the way. But 1 hit. They yank him after 6. Wish they would have let him go, to be honest, but just to see. Anyway, that being said, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. Trell on the north side, got to be geeked and excited. Trell, what's going on, my friend?
How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
So, I'm very excited. I will be going to the game tonight. This would be my third game, one of all the series that they played. Just a pledge to me. I said that I would go to at least one game every series as long as they advance. So I guess I got another big payday coming up when the finals come mm-hmm. too. But I would say I'm a little bit befuddled by the national coverage. Yes, that some of them are coming around because I think they have no choice to the Milwaukee Bucks, and that a lot of people are picking them. But now we got this storyline that all of a sudden Kawhi Leonard is better than Giannis.
And, no.
You know, people are making this argument, and I'm just sitting there befuddled looking at these shows like, when did this become a thing? I mean, I understand he hit a game-winning shot, and he averaged over 30 points against Philadelphia. He had a great series. But I never really heard people making this claim all through the season that Kawhi Leonard was better than Giannis. And I think this goes to what happened when they dismantled the Detroit Pistons and everybody started, taking their shots at the Bucks. And then, of course, when the Celtics came out and won that game one, then people had, poked their chest out a little more like, yeah, I told you. But then the Bucks steamrolled them, and now we got this storyline that all of a sudden Kawhi is better. But then you got these people, okay, Kawhi is better, but you're picking the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have a better supporting cast.
Right.
Come on, man. They were like 2 games apart during the whole season. Milwaukee won 60, they won 58. So both of these teams have proven that they've been really good teams this year. So I'm just kind of a little befuddled by that. I think that people are trying to find a reason not to give Giannis his respect due. So he's going to just continue to prove it.
I completely agree with you. I think some of the stuff that they've said about the Bucks is you know what it is? And I think there's a little bit of this going on in our own backyard, Trail. There's people that just can't seem to put the word finals and Bucks together. It just hasn't gone. And I think that's where people are looking at this going, yeah, are they really going to do it? I mean, does this team really have it in them? Should we talk about an NBA finals with the Milwaukee Bucks? I mean, the Bucks beat up on Toronto this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not. I said, look, the Bucks are going to win this. They lost to Toronto 123-116 at the Fiserv, which was one of their only few losses at the Fiserv. Other than that, they beat them 3 out of 4 times.
Yeah, they won two games in Toronto. If I'm not mistaken. I do not worry about this team as far as them being able to win on the road. I understand people are saying their experience factor, they're bringing that back up. You know, Giannis just won his first playoff series coming up. You know, I understand that, and I understand the, like you said, as far as the putting the finals with the Bucks. Yeah, I understand that. But I kind of like it in a way because Giannis and his team feeds off of that type of stuff. They feed off of it, and I just can't wait till the series gets going. And just want to get going to see if the Bucks are going to do what I think they're going to do, which is win in 5 games.
They beat Toronto twice this year by 13 points, once by 5. And then they lost by 7. I mean, in that game, the one they lost by 7, they shot terribly. Giannis was the one that carried him. If I remember, I think he had like 40-something points in that ballgame. Yeah. But everybody else was just cold. And it was a historically good shooting night for Toronto.
Yeah. It's not gonna, and they do really good against Kawhi Leonard for the most part. I think he had a 30-point game, one of those games. But for the most part, they play pretty good defense on him. They make him work for whatever he's going to get. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to this series, and I think it's going to be another notch in the coming out party for Giannis, and it's just going to catapult the Bucks, and then people are going to have to refocus their claims when the finals start.
Now, are you going to be one of those guys crashing Shaq's party downtown, down Lucid?
Shaq is having a party downtown?
Shaq's having a party downtown.
I didn't know about it, Bill. I'll be working, so I'm probably going to go to the game, enjoy some of the festivities out there, and probably go home because I got to be at work again in the morning.
Okay, well, then you're one of those responsible people. I think there's some people trying to crash Shaq's party tonight. I saw Ernie and everybody was down at my buddy Gino's place last night down at Calderon Club, so they're out on the town even. Everybody's enjoying Milwaukee. I saw the set is set up out in front of the set is also set up out in front of Fiserv Forum for TNT, so this is going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is great. This is great exposure for the Bucks, and as a Bucks fan, been through what we've been through, all I can say to the Bucks fans, enjoy this.
Yep.
Enjoy the ride.
No doubt. Appreciate it, man.
It's never going to happen again.
Absolutely. Yep. Terrell on the north side joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. He's welcome to call anytime. He's always good. Jack Armstrong, Raptors television analyst for TSN. Next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face, high behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God.
Welcome back. We are glad you're on board today. Hey, if you want to be a VIP, here's your chance. Enter the Big Gig Giveaway from Cousin Subs and Summerfest. 11 concerts, 11 nights at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater during Summerfest means 11 chances to win. And each VIP concert package includes a couple of tickets, a parking pass, gift cards, and a whole lot more. 11 people are going to win this one-of-a-kind of experience, and you could be one of them. Enter daily at cousinsubs.com/biggiggiveaway. And you can experience your best Summerfest ever. Ever. Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I said this, I just tweeted it out too, because I'm in that kind of a mood today. It's an energized mood. I know the town's on fire. You've got Shaq's party going on. You've got the set for TNT being built downtown. Ernie and the whole crew were in my buddy Gino's restaurant last night, and they were all hanging out and having fun. And it's just the whole downtown is a buzz. And this is really when they built the Fiserv, and when we were going through all of this, this is what you're kind of hoping for, that things would come to fruition. I don't think we expected it to be this fast, but nevertheless, you take advantage of it when it does arrive. And you've got Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Bucks, by many accounts, expected to win. Jack Armstrong, Raptors television analyst for TSN, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jack, tell us why the Bucks would not win tonight.
Tonight or the series?
you pick.
I guess. I think for the Raptors, if they come out and really shoot the ball well, I think for them, Milwaukee will yield some open opportunities on the perimeter because they're very conscious of paint protection. So I think for the Raptors, I think a big part of it is, and they struggled. They've struggled so far with their shooting in the playoffs. They're gonna have to play well on both ends. The Raptor defense has been terrific, in the playoffs against Orlando and Philadelphia, and they're going to need to be equally as terrific against a tremendous offensive team in Milwaukee. And then on the other side, you got to keep up. You got to have answers and solutions when the ball finds you and you have open opportunities. So I'm excited. It should be a great series, two outstanding teams, and really well coached. And, and you got obviously the two superstars in Giannis and Kawhi.
The factor of Giannis and Kawhi, let's just say they negate each other, which is kind of impossible to really kind of analytically put together, but let's just say they negate each other. The Toronto Raptors, to me, this can come down to benches. Is their bench depth enough to be able to say they can keep up with the likes of George Hill and Malcolm Brogdon and the way the Bucks can run different sizes and different shooters at you continuously? Because it seems like the Bucks can do it in waves.
Well, that's the big thing. I think the challenge when you're Toronto or Boston or Detroit or any team that plays Milwaukee is a lot of times they beat you with that run in the third quarter where you blink your eyes and, oh, my goodness, they just had a 12-2 run on you. And, you know, it could be anyone on the floor at that point. But they're just a team that that was my point earlier. You got to keep up. You got to be able to make plays. You got to be great defensively, but you also got to be great offensively. You're playing a really good team. I guess the best way I would describe it is you're playing against a scratch golfer, you know. And if you're a four handicap in this sport, they don't give you the four strokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to make your putts. And I think for Toronto, and Toronto's an excellent team, and down the stretch of the regular season, they were sensational in terms of moving the ball, getting open shots, and making open shots. And to me, I think that's going to be a critical factor. And the contribution from the bench. Serge Ibaka really came on late in the Philadelphia series and was wonderful. He's had opportunities against the Bucks this year, and he'll get some good looks in this series in his pick-and-pop game and pick-and-roll game. He's a good player. But they're going to need Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet. There are other two guys that normally play off the bench that have struggled in the playoffs to really come through. Because here's the other thing. The Raptors have the older roster. And after tonight, it's every other day. And, you know, the level of the defensive intensity in this series on both sides takes a lot out of you. And in particular, it takes a lot out of you and it affects your offense a little bit. So you need that depth to kind of help counteract some of that. So it's going to be critical for the Raptors. And I agree, Milwaukee's got a really good bench. But I feel confident that Norman Powell, Fred VanVleet in this series can play better. And if that's the case, I think Toronto suddenly moves right into the equation of being able to win the series. You know, unfortunately, OG Anunoby is not available tonight, and he hasn't been available for a while, you know, appendix operation, and that really set the Raptors back because he's another piece of the puzzle in terms of size and another guy that could guard Giannis and a capable offensive player.
Their head coach, when you start to compare X's and O's, Nick Nurse versus Budenholzer, is there an edge to either?
These guys, I'm a former college coach, and I've been working in the NBA for 21 years as an analyst, and both of these guys are excellent. You know, what they used to say about Don Shula, he can take his and beat yours. He can take yours and beat his.
Mm-hmm.
And these two guys can do that. So if you put Nick Nurse on Milwaukee's bench and you put Mike Budenholzer on Toronto's bench, the results would be still terrific. Because and let's take the players out of it for a minute. These guys are that good, I'm super impressed with what Coach Budenholzer did in Atlanta, and what he's done here in Milwaukee. And Nick Nurse in his first year in Toronto has been fabulous, you know, and took over a coach that did a great job in Dwayne Casey, and you know, a lot of expectations, and I think Nick has handled it beautifully.
Talking with Jack Armstrong, Raptors television analyst for TSN. So we saw in the first two series that the Bucks played, they tried to build a wall and basically not allow Giannis to just muscle his way through the paint. Is that, and it didn't work very well. I mean, they've only lost one game the entire postseason. Is that, would you continue to do the same thing? Is there a different approach that you would take in trying to slow Giannis down?
Well, I don't think there is a way to slow him down. I mean, there's a way to slow him down, but there's not a way to stop him, I guess would be the best way to say it. Make him take as many difficult shots as you possibly can. I think that's he's going to, just close your eyes and you know he's going to get 20 or whatever, and he's going to get 10 rebounds, okay? But you don't, so just don't hang your head when he gets a dunk, or don't hang your head when he comes up with a spectacular play, because that's going to happen because he's great. The reality is, though, don't allow those great plays to happen often. Make him have to take tough shots. And what do? You got to just move your feet and contain and make him shoot over the top of you and block him out as best as you can. And sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't. But the challenge is staying committed and not hanging your head. And I think the great thing about the Raptors in their first two series against Orlando and Philadelphia, they were a feisty bunch and resilient and just didn't back down from the challenge. And there'll be a number of different guys that are going to have the opportunity to guard him, and I'm sure there'll be multiple help and guys flying all over the place trying to get back to people and recover. But nonetheless, I think you go into it saying he's going to make some plays, but let's be sound in the principles fundamentally defensively and trust in that. And so far, again, Toronto's been pretty good doing that.
Kawhi has been really solid. I mean, even when the team didn't shoot well, he was the guy that kind of threw him on his back. Is there just a way to contain him, or do you just allow him to have his and try to shut down everybody else?
I think for the Raptors to win this series, because of the firepower and the depth that you mentioned before about the Bucks, he's gonna need some help, because he did a lot of heavy lifting. And some of the miles put on him in the first two rounds were city miles, not highway miles. You know, I mean, it was just bumpy.
Mm-hmm, right.
It was tough. And he, you know, he's a great, great player, tremendous competitor. So to me, I think if you're Milwaukee, I think they'll probably take their chances on some other guys and try as best as they can in their base defense. Middleton's done a pretty good job guarding Kawhi Leonard so far this season. And then they'll adjust as they go along based upon how Kawhi Leonard gets going. But to me, I think for Toronto, a lot of it you mentioned before about the bench, I just think in general that secondary scoring beyond Kawhi Leonard, will they have enough of it consistently? And to me, if they do, then I feel confident in their defense. I feel confident in their makeup as a group. The key is going to be, are they going to have enough consistency on the offensive end beyond Kawhi Leonard?
Always great to chat, Jack. We'll touch base with you hopefully later in the series as well, but good luck, and we will talk soon, okay?
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day. I'm thrilled to be here in Milwaukee, and beautiful day here today. I'm going to go run on the lake, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's awesome. Jack, enjoy the city, and we'll see you soon, okay?
You got it.
See you, pal. There you go. Jack Armstrong, Raptors television analyst for TSN, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they're going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Got an email here, and this is Jesse listening to us in Peshtigo on our fine affiliate up there, WMAM in Menominee and Marinette, said, coming down for the game tonight, cannot wait. I'm like you. I had to get out of work early today. It is all about the Bucks. Looking forward to the drive and listening to the program. Go Bucks, fear the deer. There you go. Awesome. Good stuff. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We gon' set it all tonight. Just so set the club on fire. Yes, sir. Enrique. Holla at him like, girl, please excuse me if I'm going.
Welcome back. The Michael Show on the air. There is so much going on, man. I'm geeked up. I really am. I'm fired up. It is a good day today. Got beautiful weather in the state of Wisconsin. You got Brewers baseball coming up tonight. You got Bucks basketball, Eastern Conference Finals. And we've got a PGA Championship. Now, this is weird for me to say because normally you're talking about a PGA Championship in August, but they bumped that thing up, which completely sucked for the state of Wisconsin. Although, if it was in Wisconsin right now, it wouldn't be a bad time to be here because the weather is not terrible. But the guy that is there and enjoying it, and I don't think he was actually the man that served Tiger with papers, but nevertheless, Gary D'Amato hanging out with us. Gary, how you been, man?
I've been well. How have you been, Bill?
I'm good. Good. Look, this whole thing with, I don't know if it's timing or it is what it is, but Tiger gets served with papers that he's being sued. His restaurant is being sued. His girlfriend is being sued, I guess, for wrongful death, which is a tragic situation, but how much do you think, if anything, takes away from Tiger's distraction from what's going to happen with the PGA Championship?
You know, I think it's a minor distraction for him. It would take a lot more to get his mind off golf right now. Coming off a Masters victory, going for inconceivably a second straight major championship, and if he wins this one, wouldn't it be amazing if he won this one and we start to talk about a Grand Slam after he was nowhere, you know, a year ago? But I think as far as distractions go, he's got people who handle this stuff. His mind won't be on that at all.
Well, that was going to be my next question. If he should win this, the golf world, I mean, the fact that he won the Masters set off a firestorm of speculation about whether or not he's back and all that kind of stuff. If he should win this, the golf world would be, like, on its ear, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be apoplectic. It's already 24/7 Tiger coverage. You're going to see him in every shot he hits this week, whether it's 75 the first couple days or 65. You're going to see him toss blades of grass in the air. If he were to win the PGA Championship, it would be just golf would just be crazy, I think, for the rest of the summer.
But this is good for the game. I mean, as much as when Tiger went away for a while and really wasn't that relevant, it was, in essence, good for the game. We discovered a lot of other golfers. There was a run by Rory. There was a run by Jordan. We kind of saw other guys take hold. But the fact that he's back, his and with all of those names, I think has taken golf, at least in my opinion, to another level. I think there's going to be a massive amount of eyes on Tiger this week.
No question. You know, no matter what you think of him as a person, and I know he's got a lot of people who just don't like him, and that's fine, but you have to respect he's a phenomenally gifted golfer. And to your point, Bill, I read a column by, I forget, it was a columnist for the Washington Post or New York Times, one of the two. It was a while ago. It was right after the Masters, and she was traveling, and she said she had a couple layovers. And it was during the Masters, the final round, and she said on both of her layovers, everybody in the airport was glued to the television set watching Tiger win the Masters in both places. That's all everyone was talking about, and that doesn't happen if any other golfer is in position to win a major.
I am excited to see not only Tiger, but the rest of this field. Bethpage Black is the scene, and such a historic golf course to begin with. So who is best suited, I guess, to attack this golf course?
Yeah, it's going to play really long. You know, they've had as much rain as we have up there in the Northeast in New York State. It's going to play soft. It's going to play extremely long. I like a guy like Brooks Koepka who murders the ball, hits it a mile, but hits fairways too. He's learned to control. He's got a nice controlled fade off the tee. Hits it, you know, 330 whenever he wants to. I love his chances to win this week, but I would love to see Tiger in the hunt too.
I think we would all like to see Tiger there, whether you love him or hate him. He certainly is a draw. I don't doubt that whatsoever. I look at this and, you know, is a guy like Jordan ready to take another step? Rory ready to take another step? You know, we've seen guys come close and they just haven't been able to do it. Some of the old veterans that have been able to, you know, kind of fortify themselves in some of these majors and be there and be close that just haven't been able to get over the hump, they're ready, in my opinion. So another guy that may be a dark horse in something like this that's playing pretty good right now.
You know, he's a real dark horse, but I think you have to at least talk about Steve Stricker coming off Monday, winning the Regions Tradition.
How about that?
Yeah, his first senior major, won by six shots. You know, he slept on the lead three nights in a row, and it was a Monday finish, so he's going to be tired. He's going to be mentally tired, but there's few guys in this tournament going into it with more confidence than he has right now. I mean, it's a long course for him. He would be an extreme dark horse, and of course he's 52, and no one's ever won a major at that age, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him play really well. Jordan Spieth, you mentioned him a little while ago. It doesn't look to me like he's ready to win. He's put some nice rounds together, but he hasn't done it for 4 days. I think he's got a little bit of a confidence issue going right now, and when the heat's on, he hasn't played very well. But Rory McIlroy is a guy I'd watch, too. Hits it very long. Didn't have a great Masters, just had a solid Masters, but... I like his chances, too, because of his length and his touch around the greens.
What is it about, and this came up again this week, and I was watching some of the coverage, what is it about Brooks Koepka that he's been a winner, he's played some really good golf, he just doesn't get the attention? People just kind of go, oh, yeah, by the way, there's Brooks Koepka over there. You know, he just doesn't get it.
He doesn't. I don't know why. I don't know if it's his personality, the way he plays. I'm not sure what it is about him, but people haven't gravitated to him yet, but I say yet because I think he's got a lot more majors in him. They asked him the other day at the PGA how many majors he thinks he could win, and he said double digits. Very few golfers would even dare to say that, you know, that they're going to win 10 majors. That's more than Lee Trevino and Tom Watson and Arnold Palmer. Can he get there? I think he can. I mean, he's got every bit of the game. He doesn't scare. No, nothing scares him. He said, "Why would Tiger intimidate me? We're not going to have a fist fight. Why should I be scared of him?" So I don't know, but I think he's going to be talked about a lot as we go on here and he wins more majors.
What is it about Tony Finau that everybody is so excited to see him play this course?
Yeah, well, again, go back to length, though. He's I remember when he made his PGA Tour debut at Brown Deer Park in 2008, I think it was, as a 17-year-old kid. He Monday qualified. And I remember all the golf pros just stopping watching him on the range because he was, you know, hitting balls over that fence down there at the Brown Deer range. He's got that kind of length, and the rest of his game has caught up with that length. He hasn't proved that he can. I mean, he's won, I think, one event, I believe, on the PGA Tour. He hasn't proved he can do it yet, but he's been in the hunt an awful lot. And one of these days, he's going to break through, and it could be this week.
The other guy that I love to listen to, I was listening to Freddie Couples, and he goes back to Brooks Koepka and said, look, it's a long course, it's wet, as you had mentioned. He's really good at defending a championship in that case. He said it's going to come down to Brooks Koepka, or some people are saying his game's coming together, Rory McIlroy, who really went on a run a while ago, fell off a little bit, and they say his game is back together. He's going to be kind of you know, punching it all over Bethpage Black because he's just been that accurate as of late. Is he a guy that is more than capable of winning this thing as well, that's got his game together now coming into this?
Rory, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the Masters is in his head a little bit. I mean, he needs to win the Masters to complete the Grand Slam. And I think he just put so much pressure on himself, even though he said at the beginning of this year he was going to have a new approach and not care as much and blah, blah, blah. Well, I think the Masters is in his head. But you get him to the other majors, and absolutely he could be a factor because he's got every bit of the game it would take to win on that golf course. He's won majors before. He knows how to do it. Would I be surprised if Rory won? Not in the least bit.
Hey, before I let you go, we know the Ryder Cup is coming, and we couldn't be more excited about that, let's be honest. But when it comes to majors in the state of Wisconsin, we're going to be dormant for a while. Is there anything on the horizon that would be something to get excited about?
You know, not on the media's horizon, but Aaron Hills has landed two more USGA championships, the U.S. Mid-Amateur in 2022 and the U.S. Women's Open in 2025. So are they in the mix for another U.S. Open someday? I think they are, but it's going to be at least 12, 13 years. I'll be retired. You'll still be working, Bill, but I'll be retired.
I could be dead by the end of the week. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but no, there's nothing on the horizon. I know Herb Kohler is angling for a FedEx Cup playoff event. That's more of a possibility, I think, than a major, at least in the next 10, 11, 12 years in Wisconsin.
Always good to chat, my friend. Enjoy the golf, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Gary. There you go. Gary D'Amato, senior writer for the Wisconsin.golf, Wisconsin.golf website. You can find it there, and Gary has been covering golf a long, 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 long time. Covered some Packers for a while as well. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com. it's one of the things that unless you're paying attention to like SportsCenter, you tend to forget about in this area because we are so focused right now on Bucks and Brewers and a little bit of Packers, but we are focused on that. You forget that the PGA Championship is – now, this is something that Wisconsin has proudly hosted more than a couple of times and more so in recent history up at Whistling Straits, but it was always in August. Now you've got it – they pushed it up early, and if it was here this weekend, the weather would be picture perfect, at least temperature-wise. We'd probably get a little rain over the weekend, but – nevertheless, you'd be sitting in a pretty good catbird seat right now when the weather turns to 70 and you're up along the lakefront. So, man, I wish they would consider Whistling Straits again relatively soon. But, man, it's just every time you hear the words PGA Championship, you just want to head off to Whistling Straits and just go lay in a fairway somewhere and watch the clouds go by.
I would have no problem if they had a FedEx Cup playoffs at Whistling Straits.
No, that I wouldn't either. But that'd be pretty cool. It's not a major.
No, it's not.
Not a major. It's not the same. It's just not. I want a major. I'm greedy. It's kind of like you drove a Cadillac for a long time, and you really appreciate some of the brand new Chevys that are out there, but you're going back to a Chevy. I want a Cadillac. I want the Cadillac. You appreciate the vehicles, but I want a Cadillac. You know what I mean? So anyway, that being said, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, the draft lottery shocker, and a lot of people disappointed in some of the bigger cities that are out there. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You don't get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, loose.
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, loose, loose. But I do, I do.
I say y'all having a good time out there.
The third pick goes to the New York Knicks.
Yeah! The Knicks, they get the third pick. There you go. Meanwhile, the Pelicans. Yeah, the fly little Pelican. We should have that drop. Remember that from Scarface? We should have that drop. The Pelicans, they get Zion. They get the first pick in this year's NBA draft lottery. The number one overall pick. There you go. The New York Knicks get screwed. Not get screwed. I mean, it's really not rigged. I mean, Chicago didn't get it either. Chicago was hoping to be able to jump up, and they didn't get it.
No, the Knicks got screwed.
They were
anticipating getting the number one overall pick, and this was going to be Zion, fantasy. Is that a word?
Fanaticism.
Fanaticism. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up as I go.
Fanaticism.
No, hey,
say it with authority. People believe it.
All I know is the Knicks got screwed, so I kind of laugh at them because that organization is a joke. It's been a joke for a long time. And I'm actually happy for New Orleans because they were kind of in a tough situation. They might actually get to keep Anthony Davis. Now it's really the ball's in his court as to what he wants to do. And if the Pelicans really don't want Zion Williamson, then they can trade him and get a haul of picks and young talent in return. But that is such a big deal for them.
Yep.
Good thing they didn't trade that pick beforehand.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. Not necessarily for the draft. It's going to be a big offseason for the Bucks, and more so for the offseason than it is for anything else.
I mean, personally, I don't even really care about the NBA draft this year. There's really no reason to care.
No.
But in this case, I just laugh at the New York Knicks because they are just you talk about bad luck. You know what? The Bucks have been having bad luck for a long, long time. It's nice to see a big market like New York now suffer for a while. New York wins enough. It's good to see them suffer.
I agree with that. New York, L.A., I mean, it's become somewhat of a train wreck and a pariah out there as LeBron, who was there as the savior, has become the scourge ever since, he was videotaped going to restaurants and stuff and not playing for his team. You know, he has kind of shown some colors there, for lack of a better term.
I'm just not really sure how Jason Kidd, who will be the top assistant.
How does Vogel become the coach and then the organization and LeBron want Jason Kidd so he becomes the assistant?
Well, all I know is seeing Jason Kidd and LeBron James coexist in practice, how will that go down?
It's going to be a train wreck, and it's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, people, players in Milwaukee got sick of listening to Jason Kidd. Yeah. We're talking about LeBron James here.
By the way, I want to say hi to Anthony listening to us coming over from Rochester, Minnesota. There's Joe who's going to be coming down to the game tonight from Oshkosh. Fred from Plover. Jan and her husband are coming down from Baraboo. They're meeting their kids down here, by the way. Their kids go to Marquette. And Mike coming over from Dubuque, Iowa, who listens to us on our Platteville affiliate, said, see you guys in a little while. Can't wait to get to Milwaukee. Never been to the Fiserv before. So there you have it. Oh, a lot of people coming into town. Getting ready. Eastern Conference Finals coming up tonight. Maybe you score an invitation over to Shaq's party after the game tonight. That's it. Lucid, I think is what it is. The liquid bar, as they call it.
He's having a party?
There's supposedly a big party coming up tonight.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's tonight. Somebody had posted something on Facebook, and then I saw one of the news channels did it last night. And so money coming into the area, money coming into the state, because the Bucks are at the Fiserv, and the parties are going to be rocking, and downtown's going to be fired up. And, boy, just imagine what it's going to be like on Friday. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up to this.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.